Let me lay out some traffic for you. Radio term. Soon to be streaming term. I am Jim Rome. What's going on? Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope you're having a good Monday. Right now, currently, we are efforting RG3, Robert Griffin III. Next hour, exactly 1 hour from Mark, I will be efforting Thomas Dimitroff. I'm always efforting your telephone calls. 1-800-636-8686. Also, looking for some reaction on the aforementioned X platform at Jim Rome. We are building it. It is coming. We will be streaming this show on the X platform soon. Very soon. Also, you can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com.
What is X?
What is X? Love it. Still to come, I do want to get into the Sixers and the Knicks. Maniacal Knick fan made the trip to Philly, took over that house. More on that later. But right now, we are joined by an ESPN college football game analyst. He is an NFL analyst for Monday Night Countdown. He is also the host of the RG3 and the Ones podcast. He won the 2011 Heisman Trophy. He was the second overall pick in the 2020 draft by Washington out of Baylor. He played 8 years in the NFL. He is Robert Griffin III. Robert, always awesome to chop it up with you. Great to have you back, my man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, Jim. Appreciate you having me on, man. It was it's always a blast to talk to you and really just break down the game and what sports brings. But what a draft it was, right?
My man, I got to tell you, I appreciate you and I appreciate your analysis and your insight. And yes, the draft was wild. So where to start? Why don't we start at the very top? I know initially you had some concerns about Caleb Williams going to Chicago. Can you reset what the concerns were? And do you think the team adequately addressed them? And that's now a good landing spot for Caleb.
No, listen, Jim, I never said that Chicago wasn't a good landing spot for Caleb. I said that I felt like he should pull an Eli Manning to go somewhere else that had a more stable coaching structure. Listen, Chicago drafted Caleb Williams number one overall, then they went and got Rome Odunze. They got some more offensive line help later in the draft, and they positioned themselves now to where they look like they should be a playoff team. The issue with that is they have some pretty dominant teams, or a dominant team in their division when you look at the Lions, and they've also got a young Packers team that also got better. So for Chicago, like, I can't stress enough, like, there's going to be people that take what you say and get upset about no matter what and have their own agendas that way. But the bottom line was I just wanted Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams to have enough time to grow together. And they still haven't announced whether he's gotten an extension or not. It still feels like they're in a position where if they don't win this year, he's going to be on the hot seat, and that's just not what you want from your starting quarterback. And Jim, I would say that I don't think that the Bears have done anything except add expectation to their season because of the moves that they've made, and I'm not mad at them for it. I think it's phenomenal to have Rome Odunze and Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and DeAndre Swift and the pass rushers that they have with Sweat and the way that defense played the last part of the year. I'm not some like guy that just doesn't like the Chicago Bears. I just know what it takes to be successful in the NFL at the quarterback position. I know what I've seen work from organizations, and I just want to see them give him and the head coach the runway to actually make it successful and break the cycle like Ryan Poles said that he wanted to. But from a roster building standpoint, yeah, they have done absolutely everything possible to help Caleb Williams be successful. I just want them to do the same thing with the front office and the coaches.
Hey, Robert, I want to be very clear about something. I am not people, all right? I am not people. I had no issue with any of that. You have a job to do. You played in that league for a number of years, and I had no issue with that whatsoever at all. That's you doing your job, and I think it was a really interesting talking point. So I want to be very clear about that. I am not people. I have no issue with that at all. So just so we're clear on that.
Too.
Now, let me ask you about the second pick. Is there a more explosive playmaker in the draft in your mind than Jaden Daniels? And do you think he'll have the type of support in Washington that we just talked about for Caleb Williams in Chicago?
Yeah, so to answer that first part, no, there is not a more explosive player in the draft, quarterback or any other position. I mean, you could literally not just – when I watched Jaden Daniels' tape, and I called three of his games last year at LSU, so I got to see him up close and personal, and I got to watch the tape, and the same thing kept coming back. You could take away all his running plays, and he would still be the most explosive passer in all of college football last year. So when you add in some of the runs, which were quarterback draws, a lot of scrambles, he becomes a player that is extremely hard to defend, and he's a throw-first quarterback. So I always thought that if Caleb went to Chicago, the next pick had to be Jaden Daniels, and not just because he had a great last year, but because he is that level of a player, and he gave LSU a chance every single week, even though they had one of the worst defenses in the country. To answer the second question, I would say, from a personnel standpoint, no, he's not set up the same way that Caleb is in Chicago. But from a structure standpoint, with a new owner, a new GM, a new head coach, they're all going to have an opportunity to build for the next 2, 3, 4 years, as long as nothing catastrophic happens, right? So that is a great situation for a young quarterback to be in, especially when you have guys like Scary Terry to throw to, Jahan Dotson. They brought in Zach Ertz. They drafted Ben Sinnott, right? The offensive line is still a little bit of a question mark, but that's why you have a guy like Jaden Daniels, because you know he can make you right when things aren't always perfect. So I don't think he's set up as good as Caleb roster-wise, but I think front office organizationally, he is. And I got to say this, like, from the very first time I met Josh Harris and his group, I just knew things were going to be different in D.C., right? The way they engage the fans is completely different. The way they're involved in the community is different. The way they're building the team is different. Look at their draft picks, Jim. Every single draft pick, I believe, was a captain at the school that they were at. They're building this the right way. Character is a big part of it, and that has not always been said about the team in Washington.
RG3 joining us. I was going to ask about that offensive line, but you answered that too. And I was going to ask you about the ownership group, and you answered that as well. So let me ask you about this. There's been so much discussion about the Falcons taking Michael Penix Jr. 8th overall after signing Kirk Cousins to a massive deal, a guy that you know. I know you really like the player, but do you really like that draft pick?
This is like the hot button question everyone's asking. And what I'll say is this, it takes massive cojones to do what the Atlanta Falcons did, because I've talked to people inside the building, and I understand their reasoning for making the pick. Their reasoning is, listen, we brought in Kirk Cousins. We guaranteed him $100 million. We don't anticipate being bad ever again. We don't anticipate picking in the top 10 in the next 4, 5, 6 years. So we needed to go get the quarterback that we felt would be our quarterback of the future, and Kirk Cousins is the now. I can understand that line of thinking, but I say it takes massive cojones to make that pick, because every pundit and every fan is going to say, well, why did you pay Kirk Cousins and guarantee him $100 million if you were going to go and draft his replacement in the same year that you brought him in? You see, Jim, if they had done this 2 years into Kirk's contract, I don't think anyone would have batted an eye. They'd have said, okay, you know, Kirk's 38, 39 years old. He's going towards the end of his career. We need a guy to replace him. But at 36, they're looking at it like, well, Kirk's supposed to be the QB of the future, at least for the next 4 years. So I understand their reasoning, and I think it takes a lot of guts to make the pick when you know everyone is going to kill you for it. Because they had to know that when they made that pick, after guaranteeing a guy coming off a torn Achilles, $100 million, that everyone's going to kill them for that. And what I'll say is, no one's going to be patient, but this is going to take about 2 to 3 years to determine whether this pick by the Falcons was brilliant or it was a colossal mistake. But one thing is for sure, it definitely is going to be a talking point for the entire season, because if you have a bad interception or a couple bad games, those fans in Atlanta are going to want to see the guy that got drafted number 8 overall. And that's an unfortunate spot to be in if you're Kirk Cousins. But at the same time, you got $100 million guaranteed, and you're trying to go chase a championship, so you shouldn't focus on it.
I think you're right. RG3 joining us. Raheem Morris said, it's not a case where he's got to look over his shoulder. I love Raheem, man. I think it kind of is a case, though, where he's got to look over his shoulder for the reason you just mentioned. Robert, what do you make of J.J. McCarthy? For instance, without a question, this guy is a winner. We know this. No way Michigan wins that natty probably without him. But obviously, they didn't ask him to go out and win games by himself and put his team on his back. He lands in a great spot in Minnesota. What do you think he is, though, on the next level? Does he strike you as somebody who is going to play and star in that league for 10 years? Or do you have questions?
No, I don't have any questions about J.J. What I will say is, when the perfect scenario for J.J. McCarthy, Jim, is if Sam Darnold goes out, plays about 8 to 9 games, and if it's not going well, he gets to come in and be the hero, right? Because there's less pressure that way. Not that he cares about the pressure, but Sam Darnold is this mystery, right? Everyone's saying, oh, he's got all this talent. Can he do it? Can he not do it? Go ahead and give him an opportunity to make it happen. With that roster in Minnesota, I mean, he should be able to make it happen. But if he can't or he doesn't, then J.J. gets to come in and be the hero, and that's the perfect scenario for him. Why I'm not concerned about him is why I believe Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi loved him so much. He has everything you're looking for. He has the athleticism. He has the decision-making. He has the playmaking ability. He has the ability to know when to call uncle, right? When to say, all right, I'm just going to make the smart play here, and I'm not going to put my team in danger. J.J. McCarthy plays winning football. So they see that, and then they see all of these other things that he wasn't asked to do, but he has them. So when you look at it that way, it's like the girl in high school where you see her, and she's got the glasses and freckles, you know what I'm saying, and her hair's not done, and she's not wearing the best clothes that accentuate how she looks. Well, then she gets a makeover, right? And now you look at her, you're like, oh, my gosh, she was a diamond in disguise. I think that's what J.J. McCarthy is to a lot of GMs. They see him and they know that he can be this thing, and he's already a winner. So if he's playing winning football and you can get all these other things out of him that are already there, you look like a genius. So I think they're smart by taking the approach of trying to slowly get him there. But I'm a believer in J.J. McCarthy, and I've been a believer since day one when he wasn't even a starter at Michigan.
Hmm. So, Robert, before you go, let me ask you this. As a Heisman Trophy winner and a member of that exclusive group, what was your reaction to Reggie Bush finally getting his trophy back and, with it, inclusion finally into the Heisman family?
Yeah, I mean, to quote one of the greatest of all time, LeBron James, it's about damn time. Reggie Bush he's benefited now by getting his Heisman Trophy back because of the changes that have been made in college football. But to the people out there that think that he should not have gotten his Heisman back, you have to understand that whether he had the actual trophy or not, he would always be remembered as a Heisman Trophy winner. And what he did on that field was not impacted by anything else that happened outside of the field. So he earned that Heisman Trophy. His Heisman brothers we all have his back, and I'm excited. I know I'm excited to see him. You know, maybe we get him into the Heisman house. Maybe we get him at the Heisman ceremony this year at ESPN, and to really give him his flowers, because he is one of the greats. I don't think I've ever seen a highlight reel greater than Reggie Bush's highlight reel, certainly not from USC. So great to have a legend back with us formally, even though he was always there in our minds.
Appreciate those thoughts. Hey, leave me with this if you don't mind, because I know you're watching Knicks v. Sixers. How impressed were you with Jalen Brunson when he dropped 47 on Philly in Game 4? And what do you make of a dude like that who's been doubted for so long, yet is showing up and showing out in the biggest moments?
Yeah, Jim, I mean, I tweeted about it because, listen, I'm a basketball guy too. I was a highly recruited guy out of high school, got offers from Florida and Baylor and Kansas to go play basketball D1 there. So, like, I love basketball. Basketball is my first love. So when I see Jalen Brunson and I've seen all the things that he's gone through as far as, like, people on the outside, I remember when he signed with the Knicks, right, there was this running narrative of, like, who wants to be a part of the Jalen Brunson sweepstakes, right? And people were, like, making fun of that. And then you go back earlier this year and people are saying he's too small to be a, you know, to be a one. He can't get them anywhere because he's too small and this can't do that. I can't do this and can't do that. But now you look at him and it's like in a must-win game when you're trying to put the pedal to the metal, the guy goes out and he drops a 40-burger on you and he's unstoppable getting into the paint, hitting from outside. Like, to watch him play the game that way is just a testament to the Knicks believing in him and who he could be. Obviously, I know his dad is there and was on the staff. But it just shows everyone out there, it doesn't matter how small you are, it doesn't matter what people on the outside say, as long as you go get the job done and you prove it day in, day out, you can also be a Jalen Brunson. So I'm really impressed with how he's approached it. And he's got the Knicks looking better than they have in a decade, you know, in more than a decade. So I'm excited for the Knicks, and I've never was one of those guys that ever doubt people. I'm always rooting for him, and I'm happy that Jalen Brunson is finding the success that he deserves.
So you're about positivity. Hey, last thought. I don't want to be greedy, but when you say that Florida recruited you, Robert, did Billy Donovan recruit you? Was that right after they went back-to-back?
Oh, yeah. Yes, it was. So I was a point guard. I was coming out of high school, I was like 6'1". So I was a pure point guard, passer, could shoot, the three ball. But, yeah, Billy Donovan and those guys recruited me to Florida. And obviously I just decided to play – I wanted to play all three sports, so that's another story for another time. But I did not take that offer from Florida, but it was an honor to be recruited by them.
Next time, we will hit that story, too. Robert Griffin III, ESPN College Football Game Analyst, NFL Analyst for Monday Night Countdown as well. He's got a podcast, RG3 and the Ones. You want to make sure you listen to that. My man, appreciate you so much, Robert. Thank you very much, as always. Appreciate the relationship and the great content.
Nah, appreciate you, Jim, and God bless, and we'll talk soon.
You too, dude. Appreciate it very much. Robert Griffin III. I think he's a media star, honestly. Always like talking to him. Always like talking to him. And always pumped up when he says yes. All right, so moving through it, your reaction to any of that. All strong content, all strong takes. 1-800-636-8686. Got to talk to some association. Well, we did at the top when I talked about Wolves Nation and the Ant-Man. James Kelly trying to produce from afar. Hey, Avi, asking why you didn't play the Munster theme song. You know why, James? It's a freaking guest. The guest might not get the inside joke. I don't want to rub a guest the wrong way when we have a good relationship. This is your disconnect, head. He's like, yo, boss, you really missed an opportunity to hit RG3 with a Chalk Donovan blast. Hey, James, I understand that you don't give a damn about any of the relationships that I've worked so hard to procure because you have no relationships other than the one you have with me, which is very much in jeopardy at this point. But, dude, I've worked hard to have some of these relationships. In fact, all of them. There's this incredible disconnect between the big head and, I don't know, class, the etiquette, reality. Hey, boss, you had Robert Griffin III on. You were talking about the Florida Gators. Why didn't you hit him with the Munster kid? You know why, James? I like Robert Griffin III. I respect RG3, and I like him coming on this show. That's why. Is that something you can wrap your gigantic head around? I'm telling you, dude. Tell you what, big stupid. Why don't you worry about the Derby? Why don't you worry about getting your Derby pick right? And stop telling us or asking us why we didn't hit RG3 with the Munster theme song. Time and place, big head. And that was neither. Wow, dude. It's Derby week, man. Stay on point. Keep the main thing the main thing. Getting that pick right and making us money. Stop trying to produce. Stop trying to program. Just worry about your brand, head. And getting us paid. All right, 1-800-636-8686. My thanks to RG3. Thomas Dimitrov coming up next hour. Clones. How are we feeling? How are we living? Are you feeling good? If you're feeling good, it's going to affect pretty much everything, right? Then you get your true experience in life. Relief Factor understands this. Relief Factor, you might be wondering, what is it? What Relief Factor is a daily supplement that helps your body fight back against occasional minor pain. I mean, who doesn't suffer from occasional minor pain? This is what I like best about Relief Factor, other than how effective it is. It's 100% drug-free. It was developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for relieving pain. Neck pain, back pain, joint pain, muscle pain, Relief Factor can help you feel better. You know how I always say that Justin Fields hit me with, yo, you look like a cardio guy. And I always say, guilty. Did a little upper body work weight this weekend. Throwing some weights around. You know what? Feel great. Normally, I would feel that. I feel great. And I attribute that to Relief Factor. It helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor. Give it a try for yourself. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Save on your first order. 1-800-4-RELIEF. I use it every day. These products and statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
So I still have thoughts about the Atlanta Falcons and what they did. I don't hate the pick. I have questions about the pick. I was stunned by the pick. I don't hate the pick. Listen, you got to understand, this is a big Falcons house, a big Raheem house. I really do like that franchise a lot. And I know they want to win. I know they want to win. But to think that there wasn't going to be a lot of pushback on that pick and a lot of questions about that pick and a lot of people saying, the hell are you doing regarding that pick? I think it's kind of naive. And then some of the things that they're saying in reaction to the pick, Raheem and Terry Fontenot, don't make a lot of sense to me either. And I love these guys. And by the way, to RG3's point, time will tell. That pick may turn out really well. It might. You know, like, what if Kirk Cousins goes down and you got Michael Penix Jr. right there just lighting it up, laser show? What if Cousins gets out quickly, like last year when he was playing great ball? And what if they start 6-2 and then something bad happens? And then you've got that guy. Not that Cousins. But then again, you might argue, what are you doing spending all that money, guaranteeing all that money to a guy who just went down? But then again, it's not my money. So I've got more thoughts on that, which I'll get to. I also do want to talk some more. Philly fan, I really want to understand. Like, I'm not going to take a run at you just to take a run at you when you already know how I feel about you. But I want you to explain to me what it is you have against that team right now. What it is you have against Joel Embiid right now. How it is you let Nick Fan into your house, take over your house, come in, and, you know, the proverbial angle, eat your food, drink your beer, post up in the master bedroom. I mean, like, how did that happen? How did that happen? How could you let that happen? You're a Philly fan. How did all those Knicks fans get tickets to that game? We were talking about a 2v7. Joe got you back in that series. What happened? You hate each other. What happened? I want to get into that, too. First, a question. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky incredible? Why don't we start with the fact that it's a family-run business? I know about that business and that family. They stand by quality. They produce the world's finest beef jerky. It is the only beef jerky in my house. Do not be fooled by their brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you choose the right one, the best one, Old Trapper, where you can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. That's a word that's thrown around quite a bit lately. Iconic/ionic. It doesn't always apply, but it does here. Because every bite of Old Trapper is tender and it's never tough because they use just the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite, and it comes in 4 amazing flavors. If you haven't tried it yet, what I would suggest is you try them all. And there's a way to do it. They come in 4-ounce bags. Try them all. Get one of each. If you've already done that and you know what you want, then take the big swing, get the 18-ounce bag. If you don't see it, and you will, but if for some reason you don't see it, ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? Let's get a phone call in here quickly before I go to break. Let's go to, this guy is in market. He is on topic. It's in reaction to what we just talked about. Savannah, Georgia, Brendan. What's going on, Brendan? How are you?
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Great.
Good, good. Listened to you a long time ago since the 90s in Houston, but I've been in Atlanta for a long time now. And, you know, I think the Penix trade, or the, excuse me, the Penix draft pick was a wonderful pick. You know, I think most people thought that Turner or Latu would be the pick, or maybe even Bowers or Tuesday. But unfortunately, with a guy that's coming off an Achilles, torn Achilles, being 35 years old, you need a guy that can come in and back him up. So that's my take. I'm out.
No, I hear you. I appreciate that, Brendan. See, somebody who used to listen back in the day, found the program, wanted to weigh in. I appreciate your thoughts. I think that you speak for most of Falcon Nation. I think most people thought they would do something defensively, that they had weapons offensively, that they would do something defensively. I mean, given that there were so many offensive players that came off the board to start the draft, they had their pick of essentially any defensive player in the entire draft. You know, maybe you go edge rusher. I think what Kirk Cousins would say, and in fact did as much, I thought we would take somebody to help us win right now. Because in effect, I could argue that he wanted to come home. There was, you know, lots of guaranteed money, but he wanted to win right now. So I'm sure he was shocked. And not only not, they didn't get somebody that could help them win right now, but they drafted his successor. So that can't be an easy thing. Yeah, I bet he was stunned. Everybody was. But that's a Falcons fan saying, you know what, man, I like it. I like it. In the end, you may come out loving it. Again, if that team were to get off to a good start, put themselves in contention, because Cousins was playing lights out before he got hurt last year, one of the reasons why the Falcons took that big swing. If they come out quickly, and he's recovered, and they're playing good ball, and something were to happen to him, you know, maybe you've got an electric player to come off the sideline to keep that season alive. Maybe. Maybe. Now, I don't think that's what their thinking was. RG3 said what their thinking was, and this is what Raheem said. Raheem said this. We're never going to be bad again. Not like we've been. Or we're never going to pick where we're picking again. Therefore, we need to have a succession in place at the quarterback spot. Terry Fontenot even said, if he doesn't play for 4 or 5 years, that is a great spot to be in. I would kind of argue the logic of that. But their point, Raheem did say this. Listen, it's all different now. We're never going to pick where we are right now. Therefore, if we have a chance to get our next franchise quarterback, we're going to take him right now because we're not going to have that chance again. You know, I'm going to be very straight about this. I don't dislike the pick as much as I dislike some of the rationalization of the pick. And that's a hard thing for me to say because I love the guys who made the pick. But Raheem went off on this whole thing about, and I love the guy. Love him. But he went off on this whole thing about, you know what? I get how it is. This is the way it is right now where people are going to react and people are going to push back. I'm paraphrasing. But then he made this analogy that, you know, it's kind of like Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. You know, all that reaction and all that hate and all that energy. What he said was, I'm Taylor Swift and Terry is Kelce. Raheem, dude, you are awesome. But that analogy is not. Raheem, dude, you are awesome. You are, dude. You're awesome. You're awesome as a coach. You're awesome as a dude. You're awesome as a motivator. Dude, I love your energy. I do not love that comp. That you're Taylor and Terry is Kelce. That comp does not work, my guy. The two of you are nothing like the two of them. Terry. One is the biggest star in the world, And it sold like maybe, I don't know, I think 8 trillion records. And the other one's a champion, a world champion, multiple times. So that comp doesn't really make sense to me. So what I'm saying is, and those two love each other. Those two could marry each other. I mean, I know you love Terry, but not quite like the way Terry? Those two love each other. Anyway. I have questions about the pick, but it might work out great. They might be geniuses, man. There may come a day where Terry and Raheem are like, Terry? How you like us now? Apology accepted. Tell us how our collective ass tastes. They may be right. Tell me how but in the meantime, you had to know this pushback was coming. And more troubling to me than the pick itself is that crazy comp about Taylor and Travis being like me and Terry. I've got more message or more questions about the rationalization of the pick than the pick itself. And in terms of Raheem saying, hey, listen, Kirk does not need to be looking over his shoulder. I think the reason you say something like that is because Kirk needs to be looking over his shoulder. If he's not playing well, of course everybody's going to clamor for your next franchise quarterback. Hey, listen, content. That to RG3's point, that was a brass freaking pick. That took sack. But to think that nobody's going to talk about that is kind of naive. Or to think that they would talk about it, but that it wouldn't jump the day is kind of naive. Not only are we still talking about it, to RG3's point, we'll be talking about it all season long. Unless Kirk comes out there and just lights it up. You know, and they're 8-2, they're 10-4, you know, they're right in the hunt. He's an MVP candidate. He's doing Kirk Cousins things. It's going to be a topic, for sure. For sure. All right, when we come back, I want to talk about, I told you, my favorite player going into the draft, and I want to talk about my favorite player coming out of the draft. In fact, I know these games are kind of cute. Hit me up on X right now. Who do you think it is? Who do you think my favorite player is coming out of the draft? Another thing I was going to get into with RG3, but I ran out of time. Spencer Rattler. So you've got 6 quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks, and then not another quarterback until the 5th round. Spencer Rattler. Why is that? Ian Rappaport had a report that said, at least in part, there were lots of teams around the league that couldn't stop thinking about the image of Rattler in this reality show when he was kind of a bag as a high school player. Are you telling me there are teams that aren't taking a guy because of a reality show in high school? Come on. What, because of character concerns? Character should matter. Character should be a concern. Except I see guys leading up to the draft doing pretty abhorrent things that are still getting drafted pretty highly. Yet you're going to tell me this guy wasn't drafted because of a reality show when he was in high school? Come on with that. Guys do such worse things 5 minutes before the draft, and they still get drafted highly. And you're going to tell me they're holding that against him from high school? Oh, okay. Let's take a break. Thomas Dimitroff, top of the hour. Here's a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
No. Not all beef jerky is the same. By now you know this. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki. Hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags so you can sample different flavors and find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Couple of things. At Grumble Pucky writes, maybe ATL is finally the next team to try the Green Bay Packers method of quarterback development. You know what? Everybody keeps throwing that out. The situations are totally different. It's not like that for way too many reasons I can get into later on. I want to just touch on this. So I asked you the question. If going into the draft, my favorite player was Rome Odunze, and not because of his name, in part, but I thought the guy, he was such an amazing player, I thought, at Washington. And then when I had a chance to talk to him on this show, I thought he just showed up so great. Loved him. That was my favorite player going into the draft. So I said, hey, clones, guess. Take a shot. Who do you think my favorite player was coming out of the draft? A number of you got it. Now, Bills Mafia, I did say on Friday I was concerned about your team's decision to trade a first-round pick to your arch-rival Kansas City, who then used that pick to upgrade their wideout room and giving Patrick Mahomes maybe one of the fastest targets in the history of professional football in Xavier Worthy. That concerned me. That still concerns me. However, my concern may have been mitigated slightly by this guy. If we were grading in terms of vibe, you just won the draft. Keon Coleman. Now, I know Mafia already is in love with this guy. I'm already in love with this guy. I knew about him coming out, but I'm going to be very honest. I had no idea this dude had this kind of vibe off the field. If we're talking about first impressions, go ahead and give this guy an A+. An A+. Among other things, he shows up for his introductory presser, and he's talking about an assortment of things. And he's even lecturing reporters, not talking down to them. No, lecturing is a little bit harsh. He's educating reporters on the art of a good deal. Now, again, we're talking about a dude showing up and talking about all sorts of things. Listen to Keon talking to the local media about where to find the best deals.
Man, you forgot I went to school in Michigan for 2 years? Guess where I got this from, though. That's what I'm saying. You got to guess. You're going to be wrong, though, but guess. Nah, Macy's. What you mean? They be on sale on the rack, all the colors. Look, $79.89. Nice little deal. You can get the trench coat for like $100. Nice little. I'll take it up personally. I might go get some more colors. I need a blue one and another red one.
There's good Thanksgiving sales too. That's what I usually do.
See, I ain't know nothing about Thanksgiving. I shop like my mom. I get my coats in the summertime. You got to shop a season or two before, just in case, you know, and it be cheaper. Because you go at Thanksgiving, everybody in Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying? Who we starting with? Yeah. Oh, we go. Oh, my bad. Y'all hear me?
This on?
This on. All right. I'm just making sure we ain't trying to set them up. Who we got going first?
Tip of the iceberg. He's wearing this bright yellow jacket and was asked about it. And he's like, hey, guess where I got that? Somebody says, Tom Izzo? He's like, Tom Izzo? Nah, Macy's. And then he lays out, get a good deal on it. $79.89, nice little deal. You need to go in the summertime, a season or two ahead of time before people are buying. I need to go get me a blue and a red one. Let me ask you something. $79.89, nice little deal. I need to go get me a blue and a red one. Did that or did that not have some Chucky Brown at Red Lobster vibes from back in the day?
Zeke, it's always great to have you on The Last Word.
No,
thank you very
Alvy,
much for joining
I need
us.
Chucky.
What's up?
My pleasure. I just got back from Red Lobster.
That's another reason, Chucky, probably you have such great respect and appreciation for the NBA. A lot of these guys should go back to the CBA and spend a little bit of time. Then they might appreciate more what they have.
Yeah, I think so. I think that would help a lot because I hear a lot of the you know, we get chartered flights. We stay in the 5-star hotels, and you know, guys, we complain about that. I'm like, man, you know, we get the nice meal money, and the CBA, you got $25 a day for meal money. What $25 a day can get you in is Denny's. You go to Denny's every day or McDonald's. You know, we can go. The meal money we get now is like 80-something bucks. You know, you can go to a nice restaurant. You go to Red Lobster to get you a nice meal.
Throwing out fives like that. That's taking me back now. That's taking me back. My man, he's just getting started, though. Keon. I don't even know what the best part of that entire exchange was. Him correcting the clearly non-bargain shopping scribe about when to strike for the best deals possible. That was awesome. When he's saying, nah, dude, the one thing you don't want to do is buy that jacket on Thanksgiving. Who does that? No, man, summer. Buy your jackets in summer when they're on sale. That's smart. That's disciplined.
See, I ain't know nothing about Thanksgiving. I get, you see, I shop like my mom. I get my coats in the summertime. You got to shop a season or two before, just in case, you know, and it be cheaper. Because you go at Thanksgiving, everybody in Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, dude. That is so smart. I also like, where'd you get that jacket? Tom Izzo? He goes, no, I'll ask you, where do you think I got that? Tom Izzo? That's funny in and of itself. He's like, nah, man, Macy's. What do you mean? What do you mean? They be on sale on the rack, all colors. I mean, that is so good and so strong. Tom Izzo? No, man, what do you mean? Macy's. He wasn't done either. He was just warming up. You don't need to yell, Albie. He also talked about his ability to play golf, his ability to play the guitar. He talked about what was going through his mind when they showed him around the stadium. He walked off and he saw some snacks off to the side and very politely asked if he could help himself to the snacks. I mean, this dude is all personality, all personality, all vibe. And he did help himself to the snacks. Most of them, kind of like free as me. I love this dude. And I think he can play. I just had no idea he had that kind of personality. Speaking of vibes, kind of throwing off like Brandon Marshall vibes. You know, big physical player. Makes some plays in the red zone. Yeah, I know that's a crazy comp for a guy who hasn't played it down yet in the NFL. But dude, his personality was crazy. Stay tuned.